Welcome to Ever Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. March 30th, 2014, Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and maybe later Ever Beyond Radio. Actually, I should put it on right now. And welcome to everybody who is listening. Let's try that. Tell me if you get cutouts, I'll bring it back in. It's one of those days when everything kind of happens all at the same time, then nothing stops, you know, everything stops happening all at the same time, and then there's a kind of gap. It's a bit of a mind the gap kind of day. I had the idea of so my first idea this weekend was to have John Hutchison, Canadian scientist, and I asked him on Facebook, do you want to come on, because he has got a new thing that he's launching, but I haven't heard back, so that was that. And then after our show on Friday, I thought to myself, well, it would be cool to get Rebecca on, but Rebecca's not available just now, so that's that. And and so here I am. I'm in the space. So just got to make sure, yeah, everything is broadcasting, and I'm coming across. Yes, I am. So that's all good. It seems to be laboring the computer a little bit to be running that many streams, but we'll see how we go. But we're on Ever Beyond Radio. Do call me if you have a problem with the sound. So. Okay, so yeah, let's go into the dark stuff, shall we? Dark matter, shungite. My experience of it so far is, yes, it's like coal. It's like anthracite in a way. Anthracite is another crystalline form that is another carbon thing that is supposedly made from fossilized trees and things, and the you know, who's to say that coal is made from trees, you know, or that carbon comes from trees, or that it came this way. There may be other ways, you know. Maybe stars emit blobs of carbon. Maybe shungite is a waste product, like the slag heap of a star. It's just this very kind of singular black globular material that you can't do anything with. Maybe you can burn it. I wonder if it burns like coal. Probably does. You have a fairy pranking with your sound. Right. So, yeah, activated carbon has this very similar, you know, so carbon in its form, you know, whether it's graphite or activated charcoal or diamond, we have a unique relationship with it, don't we? That's very interesting. You know, we also have a unique relationship with silicon, which is the next one up. Silicon we find in just about everywhere in our lives. We find it in the glass, in the windows we look through. We see it in computers, of course. You know, tiny pieces of crystals are in anything that is digital, so any MP3 player, digital watch, digital clock, you know, even, you know, new modern electric clocks, they have a crystal drive in them, all of these things. They're all using a tiny piece of silicon dioxide. So we've got silicon, and then carbon and silicon are on the same column in the periodic table, so there's a relationship, in the same way that say argon and krypton and neon are all what they call noble gases, so they're, you know, they're in the same column, and so silicon and carbon are in this thing, and they are on the they're on the borderline between metal and mineral. It's a very interesting thing, and indeed, you know, carbon is the point where everything connects. You know, where life and mineral and organic and metal meet. You know, carbon can act like a metal. It can conduct electricity. It can. It's porous. It can absorb other things. You know, all sorts of properties of carbon. It's a very unique element. So that's an interesting point. So right, OC, so you're still having the problem. So I'm going to take that last stream off and just stream to Wolf Spirit Radio and No Borders Radio, and anybody's there, you're going to have to join me elsewhere. Well, no, if you have it must be it, yeah, that must be me. So if you have problems, please stop and restart if you have problems. Okay, so let's get back to Ever Beyond Business and focus on the business at hand. We are looking at the dark side, the dark things, black stuff, carbon, shungite, and maybe even walking down some dark corridors once we've armed ourselves. This stuff would be great to sleep on. Well, particularly, you know, I would like, you know, underneath my mattress. I'm going to see if I can find a slab of the stuff. I've already got a piece of granite underneath, which is very nice. You know, just it's it was around where I live. There was a company that made worktops, and they would make granite worktops, and they would, you know, all lying around as little pieces of granite as offcuts of this stuff, and it's very useful. One of the things I do with it is I put it on my fireplace, on my stove, in the evening when it heats up, and when I go to bed, I take this piece of stone that has been sitting on the stove, and I put it into a little hot water bottle jacket, and it makes the best hot water bottle because it holds the heat a lot longer than water does. Thermal mass, that's what you need, and it's very flat and you can lay on it and it's very comfortable, and so I would totally recommend this this technique. Maybe I should I don't know if you can put one of these things in the microwave. No, but you need to put it in there with gloves because it's really, really hot. You know, over 100 degrees, and you put it into the little cover, and it's just really gorgeous. Okay, so did just that up, JP. All right, okay, so yes, good. So let's hope that you're all able to tune in. Welcome to Ever Beyond this evening. It's a quite a nice, a chilly spring afternoon here in Britain this afternoon. It was rather windy. We have a northeasterly. That means it's coming in from Siberia. And so we're going to experience some nice cool weather coming up in the next few weeks. That should be quite interesting. And we're probably going to get our winter now from March till June. Because that's the way things are. You know, the seasons are all messed up. There's something coming. You may remember I've been banging on about these waves, or this wave that we've been experiencing, that I've personally been experiencing, I believe everybody has been experiencing without realizing it, that I've been experiencing in the last year or so, since last April. This what I call a bow shock, and it's like a increase of sensitivity. I think that's a good way of putting it. And with that increase in sensitivity comes an increase in intolerance of discord. we're seeking harmony. We seek peace and harmony and balance. And when something is out of balance, it feels uncomfortable, like more and more. So, for instance, back in the day, you would walk into a room and there was a picture that was slightly askew in the room. And you still be able to zone it out. But these days, you have to just get up. Even when you come into the room, just come straight into the room, look around. Okay, go in, fix the thing, and then you can sit down. It's getting to that point when you have to get to a point of balance in your own self, wherever you are, because everywhere seems completely crazy. The whole world seems to have gone slightly batshit. Maybe sort of halfway between batshit and apeshit. I think we're working from batshit to apeshit, and maybe taking a break down there at chicken shit. Can I say shit? I think, well, anyway, I did. Nobody's going to get me because I've got the transmitter. So, batshit. The world seems to be responding more and more in an emotional and rather impatient and rather irritated and rather grumpy fashion. And in the same way, I feel that sort of energy in myself. I'm feeling like I don't want anybody to disturb the peace that I have when I find it, because it seems to be more and more rare to find peace even within my own self. What do you think? Still got loop. Alright, still a bit choppy. How bizarre. Well, anyway, would you like to call in? I would be happy to do readings, but I'd like to continue this conversation. The conversation that I was wanting to start was the thing, the beast. When we were talking about the Vatican the other night on Journeys with Rebecca, I'm sure a lot of you were here at the time, and has anyone had any insights? I mean, what I'd like to do is, like, we get a kind of group picture of this thing as an entity that is perhaps dying, or somehow its time has come, or its power base has been taken away. I don't know. Has anybody got any ideas? I'm looking for ideas with this thing. Tracy's not here either. So, the call-in number is... Oh, very good question there. It's certainly on Skype, and I prefer you on Skype to call in. The Skype is wolfspirit.switchboard1. You can call in there, and there's a number, and I can never remember the number. So what I'm going to do is rely on a jingle that I might have made, and when I do that, I'll find something. So there's that station music and jingles. Would that be idents? Let's see if that's in idents. Newtel number. I bet this isn't the Newtel number. Let's see which one it is. Call in on 1775. Nope, that's not the one. And it's a good thing I stopped it, because I nearly stopped recording the show. Alright, so I'll find them. Right, I'm going to delete that one, because we don't have that number anymore, and that's useless. Right, so there's another, and I should have one of these ready, but I don't. So, no idea what the number is. Dave, can you help us out here? I'm sure it's in the chat room and in the on the website somewhere. So, yes, the beast, the darkness. I was with Rebecca, and we were talking about things, and then suddenly she started talking about this night experience that she had, where she was shown the catacombs beneath the Vatican and the artifacts down there, and then she found a beast, a thing, a being of some kind. I have found myself quite fascinated with this discussion. And so I kept on looking, and I found something on this is the website is purgerabo10.tripod.com. Purgerabo, I know, is it's a name. I think it was one of the Crowley names that he gave himself. But purdue is to lose. So this is from James Donahue, okay, he's saying, after our recent posting of the Abba Father description. Now, Abba Father, I think, is like a channeling entity that they channel, and it described this powerful lizard-like creature lying chained in catacombs deep under the Vatican. We received an interesting link to a series of books and articles by author Stuart Wilde, who also describes a personal vision of such a creature. Now, I don't know if you remember, but Stuart Wilde was indeed a guest on Journeys with Rebecca in the last 2 years. I think it was about sometime last year, I don't know if anybody remembers. So he's not an unknown person. However, when I tried to find the article that they were quoting from, turned out that Stuart Wilde had in fact died, and that he'd that the website where this was is no longer there. However, now here's a lesson for everybody: if you find that you knew that there was an article somewhere on some place and you knew what date it was, there is a place you can go. Yes, brothers and sisters, it's really real. There is a record that is publicly available of everything that was ever on the internet. It's called archive.org, and it's in fact it's Google's cache. When Google does its spider crawling, it puts its information in the database, and that's archive.org. So you can go to archive.org and you can pull out old articles. You type in the website that you're looking for, and it will tell you when it took a snapshot of that website. And it's, you know, it spiders a web. That's what it does. A spider is a program called a crawler, and it will crawl from website to website, IP to IP, and see what it can do, and see what information it can store, so that when people want to find something, it's already looked there. That's how Google works. It has to look at the websites first in order to get them. Most of the time, people give them the websites. Meanwhile, archive.org, Stuart Wilde, I finally found the article. So I'll read that out later. But this is what Donahue is saying. We find the World article significant in its agreement with similar reports by other writers, many of them posted and quoted in articles on this site. Both the Abba Father and Wilde state that the creature under the Vatican is controlling the minds and hearts of the masses, and that the time has come to expose what is there so that the world can break from the yoke of enslavement that has held the human race in bondage for thousands of years. Wilde wrote, "The reason nothing ever changes in the world, and one milk the people government is replaced by another milk the people government, is because there are billions of inner world ghouls holding up the tyranny. They sustain the control mechanism of evil in the human mind, and they propagate the lies and corruption that go with each of the institutions and systems that dominate every aspect of human life. Does this not explain why the election of a democratic government to replace a failed Republican-controlled government in the United States fails to bring about the change demanded by the people? Those of us who have achieved the capability of leaving our bodies and exploring the astral world that surrounds us are fully aware that we are surrounded by a variety of alien beings living among us." I'm just going to post the thing in there. Living among us. Some of them are friendly and helpful. A majority of the ones we encounter are not. We would will that the beast at the Vatican be removed, and that all of his minions be removed along with him, so that our world might be healed and the people allowed to exist in a state of peace and harmony. We agree with Wilde that the various world religious systems were created by alien forces to enslave the people and help keep us in a constant state of warfare amongst ourselves. Thus, a major step towards ending this long-held reign of world domination involves the dismantling of organized religions. Among the first to go must be the Roman Catholic Church. Wilde writes that an unseen spiritual war is already raging and has been going on for at least the last 8 years. And this is in the late 80s, by the way. The late 2000s. He said spiritual forces are in what amounts to a hand-to-hand combat to bring the church down and protect the children and free the poor that are being milked by the church for nefarious reasons. And this is the bit. Inside the Vatican, some reverb on it. Inside the Vatican is a massive being. It is red and black. It looks like a very large blob, 40 feet high and 30 feet across. It has tentacles that reach from the altar to the front door. It doesn't move very fast, but is very powerful and ominous. Stuart Wilde goes on. The celestial forces have to dispatch a couple of undercover operatives to kill the blob. Once it dies, then the celestial forces are in the door, and they will advance into the chambers and offices of the Vatican, and the evidence to sink Benny Boy, Pope Benedict, will pop to the surface much in the way ducks pop up on a lake after diving for food. Wilde writes that all the people and little children that are too scared to give evidence will suddenly take courage, and the church will crumble in a holocaust of lawsuits and criminal proceedings. The audio is getting ridiculous. Really bizarre. I must say that the recording should be good, and I'll be getting that up as soon as possible. That is very strange, because I'm able to listen to my stream on my mobile phone, and it seems to me that it's coming out perfectly.
Identify them, or should we just decide they don't matter anymore?
Oh, really? That's because it was there.
There we go. The celestial forces have to dispatch a couple of undercover operatives to kill the blob.
I see what you mean. Then celestial force are... Yes. That's very interesting. I wonder what's doing that. I may have to... interesting. I don't know what the buffering is on that. Maybe... I'm just going to disconnect and reconnect. I'll be 1 second of your time. Okay, so that should have... reset the sound, and hopefully it's not going to be doing that skippy thing. What it is, it's not being able to put all the information all at the same time. It's storing it up, and it loses data as it's going in, as it's storing it up. The flux capacitor is obviously faulty in the ISP server. I will also stop loads of things going on my computer to try and... Oh, I wonder if it's to do with that mail program. Probably is. All right, so there we go. That's gone. Right. Yes. Oh, weird. Okay, I have reset the stream, my end. It's a good thing I've got an important guest, isn't it? Maybe that's why it's like, oh, let's have a little ride on this little roller coaster. Yeah, I can see my computer is running a little slowly there. I may have to drop one of these streams. This shouldn't be that bad. I know what I'll do is I'm going to go and I'm going to take off my router and take the... well, I won't bother explaining it. I'm going to play a little bit of music and see where we go.
Energy. Transforming energy.
For goodness sake!
Sorry about that. I'm going to put this one back on here. Yeah, much, much more mellow. Okay, I'm just going to reboot my router. You'll hear a break for about a minute. Try and recall your, restart your players in about a minute's time, and we'll hopefully get a better signal. Great apologies for this to everybody who's listening, but I'll be back in 1 second. You should be getting the same tune when you come back. Okay, sorry about this. Oh yes, oh yes, I are the Natty Dread. I am a Rasta and you are a Baled. Yes. One of them was saying, you know, it's like, I've got hair and you haven't. You know, you're a bald head, a Baled. And I am Natty Dread. I have the knotty dreadlocks. Anyway, let it go. It was an old record, 1970s. Mikey Dread, Lee Scratch Perry, Dread at the Mantrolls. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Good stuff. So, here we are back on Ever Beyond. Do give us a signal report if you're listening, and see if we've got a nice clean signal. I'm going out clean here, which means that I'm going directly from the microphone into the desk, into the transmitter, and there's nothing in the way, so there should be no skipping. So if it's skipping at all, let me know, and I will be there for you, and I'll see if I can do what I can. I've just reconnected my router to a different IP number, and so that should change things, because sometimes IPs get pinged. If you're on the online for a long enough time, somebody's going to notice, and there are entities out there. It's a bit like the astral plane. It's a bit like the Vatican. Back to the Vatican. Da da da. My sound is really ropey. Thank you very much, Nikki. Yes, it is. Right. Okay. So we're now coming back on, hopefully we're getting yes, there we go. Coming back into the chat room. Am I still here as me? Hi. Oh no, I'm JP Pro. Right, okay, there we go. Oh, what a thing this is. Anyway, like one of these I might as well have put on a bunch of music today. as much thing as I have. I'm gonna stop that, exit this, and then come back in and come back into the chat room. Yeah, so very well. We are back now. I am back on. You may call in. That's where we started. I was going to find the call-in number and I couldn't find it. I'm still skipping. That's ridiculous. I wonder what's happening. This must be something to do with traffic that's going on the line that I'm on. That's very weird. Very weird. So weird. So weird. Right. Right. Anyway, I need some talking points. Where should we go from here? So, yeah, I was reading this thing from the Donahue fellow. So he's saying that all the little people and all the children that are too scared to give evidence will suddenly take courage, and the church will crumble in a holocaust of lawsuits and criminal proceedings. Well, brothers and sisters, isn't that what we're seeing right now? Isn't this what we're seeing with, Mr. Controversial Kevin Arnett? That's what he's doing. He's part of this. I'm sure there are more. I mean, there are literally billions of abused Catholic children and ex-Catholic children or ex-Catholic ex-children on this planet who would be only too happy to find a way of exposing it and stopping it, at the very least, to stop it. So, the beast may actually be a thing of the past. The beast may be dead. The beast may be laying in its last moments, pouring its life juices all over the floor of that basement room in the Vatican. Like the face of Bo, it just grew and grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. It has an effect on the minds of people. It was one of the first psychotronic transmitters, organic psychotronic transmitter. It's probably some kind of, like I keep saying, it just reminds me of a phage, of a necrotic bacteria, necrotic cell, a lymphocyte, the blobby thing that absorbs things. Remember Fantastic Voyage? That kind of creature being somehow having such a consciousness that it thinks it can rule over a whole bunch of non-blobby things. Perhaps it sees us all as having a little bit of blobby thing in our skulls, and that's the bit that it can relate to. Maybe it's a brain cell of an enormous creature. Who knows? Who knows? But somehow it's managed to survive. It's found a source of nutrient somewhere. And like we were saying, in the Vatican, it might have, there may be a river that runs underneath it. There may be volcanic energy down there that is creating a warm water stream. There may be a spa. There's usually a spa in these places. So it may be feeding from whatever the spa is giving. Who's to say? I mean, this creature seems to have been there a long time. The next question is, who brought it there? Or was it always there and has since, whenever it arrived, been creating an empire around itself of slave workers that it can infest the minds of? Is this the Archont? Is this a macrobe? Is this the creature that John Dee contacted 500 years ago? Is it supremely intelligent as well as being an ugly blob? You know, maybe we shouldn't judge by appearances. It may be beautiful inside. It may be lonely. Maybe it's a male and it hasn't been laid for a while. We all know what that's like, guys, don't we? Maybe it's just angry. Maybe it's sad. Anyone got any ideas? Anybody want to engage with me on this? Yeah, I'm fine at the studio. All right, so that's weird. So you're able to pick me up at War Spirit Studio quite fine now. That's good. Well, yeah, just changed the setting that required a reboot. So, energy. Transforming energy. Here we are. That's what we're doing here. And we have our job, don't we? Are we organite? Do we absorb energy and put good energy out? Is this, I mean, in a way, I was joking earlier with Tremjar, put, you know, WTF is Earth for anyway? Or, you know, what did God make the Earth for? Or, no, that's right, well, just to get the right wording, he said, what the heck was God thinking when he created the Earth? And I came back and I said, I need a toilet. So perhaps it's maybe not such a bad idea that the Earth is a place like the intestines. Is it the Virgo of the world, of the Virgo of the universe? Is that it's the intestinal tract which extracts food, extracts energy from food. Essentially, what the intestinal tract does is extract that which can create electricity from food. And the problems with most of our stuff is that, you know, we're not getting enough electricity. And it could well be that this electricity is being sucked down through all the belief, all belief systems that we have, all the guilt. Imagine that every time you feel guilty, this creature gets a little burst of juice. Every time you feel a kind of negative emotion that feels like you're doing something wrong, this creature gets a little boost. It's really creepy. Really, really creepy ideas. And we know that on Ever Beyond, we're not afraid of asking odd questions and difficult questions. Let's see what Dave is saying. It's still slightly cutting in and out. That's really bizarre. That's like there's something ticking along the signal. I may have to reboot the system, which would be the worst thing to do. I'd have to do that at the top of the hour. Rubbish. That's not good. So I've changed my IP. I could reboot the reboot my router. That might work, and we'll see what happens there. So bear with me. I'm going to reboot the router and continue the story toolbox. Hang on a second. A little bit more music, I think. Oh, this one. This is quite a nice one. And so you do. Well, there you go. Let's see if that's done anything good. I've just went into the kitchen, rebooted the router, and we'll see what happens. We'll be back in the chat room in a minute or so, and we'll see what happens. Okay, back on. Well, so I want to make sure, I'll just put some another piece of music on just to make sure that nobody's going to be turning me inside out. Inside out. Thank you very much, Annie. Good old Aberdeen girl, Annie. So what's happening? CMEs, yeah. Let's talk about the CMEs. Because, you know, we're getting these earthquakes all over the place. And I seem to be getting... what's happening is this is packet loss, brothers and sisters. We are achieving packet loss. That means half of what I'm saying is going down some digital toilet. And that's great. So me is so awesome. Oh, everybody's getting very... It's very complicated. One of my listeners is channeling another listener. And another listener's called me. And I'm just rambling about myself, yeah. Right, yeah. Without rambling too much about things, what I've been talking about is this creature at the basement of the Vatican that seems to have been, you know, documented elsewhere. There's probably ancient stories about it as well. I don't know what it is. I'm asking because I think it's important. I think this may be the biggest clue as to what's been going on in the last God knows how many thousand years. Is the evil empire something to do with this creature, and is it one of its kind, or is it just one of many? You know, is it one of a kind? Is it alone in the universe? Like all these Doctor Who monsters. I mean, Doctor Who's always talking about these creatures that are kind of stuck in buildings and in basements and all of that. The subterranean world. All these dark underground world. I think the what also seems to be happening is the exposure of this underground world, and this is what we've been seeing in the last, it's really since 2012, and it's very interesting to think that you know, everybody was saying, oh yes, it's the end of the world, 2012. It's actually not the end of our world, it's the end of their world. They're the people who are the minions to this and other beings. The end of their world. And perhaps the only reason that I'm able at this day to read these stories out without being attacked, who knows, maybe we should feed the white popey to the thing and YouTube it. Yeah. All right. Well, that's interesting. There is a CME that is kind of bursting its way, riveting our way. I've just posted that in the chat room. If you want to see it for yourself, and you're listening in an archive, if you can actually spare to be to listen to this archive, what it is, it's www.solarham. So that's like solar, as in solar panel, ham, as in pork, dot net, as in hairnet. And it's cmewatch2.htm. I wonder what cmewatch.htm does. All right. Okay, so cmewatch takes you to... That's it. Okay. And the interesting thing is that this this machine is this website is called WSA-NLIL. NLIL. What the hell is it called NLIL for? It probably found some sort of contrivance of giving it that name. But yes, NLIL is the name of the CME watching website. So there you go. Do enjoy watching the thing arrive and then losing your internet as it arrives. Yeah, well, anyway, who knows what's going to happen. I don't know if this this show will be will go out or not. We've just gone around the top of the hour, and so we may be expecting Nancy to come by, get the copter fired up. Yeah, well, here's the thing. I don't know if anybody's heard about a prophecy that there would be a nuclear weapon set off on Rome, or some sort of beam from space, or something like that. Something, has anybody heard anything like that? You know, it's that there's some prophecy about Rome being destroyed, and now we may know why. It's to get this creature. We've heard about the prophecy of Fatima, and that the third prophecy of Fatima was that there would be a massive battle in St. Peter's Square, and people would be coming from all places, you know, just literally to kill all the cardinals and popes because of what they'd done. We are in the process of seeing the Catholic Church being reformed in the same way that you would take some crockery, grind it up, add some water and make more clay back out of it and reform them. I don't know if it's the right thing to do. I think there are certain structures which are helpful, certain administrative structures for instance distributing food to poor people, but now instead of distributing food we distribute seeds and energy technologies and tents and shelters and all of the things that we know that they've got, we know that they can make. They just need to stop gearing up for bombs and start gearing up for tents, you know. Instead of making a shell casing, you make a free energy device casing. It's not that difficult. They did it for the war the other way around, so it's not that difficult to do it the other way back. And it isn't soap from the Vatican. Oh, Pope on a rope. Pope scooper. Yeah, catching up with fast forward. Ah, so what happens is that there's a long period of no time, and then there's a large period of blah, 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 blah. I see, that's what, that's packet loss. It's not store and forwarding, right? And I would imagine that it's because it's, I was going to say interdimensional, cross-Atlantic traffic, not interdimensional traffic, but you never know. It might be interdimensional traffic interfering with cross-Atlantic travel and cross-Atlantic transmissions. So, the soap from the Vatican's gift shop is a piece of the blob. I don't know. Do we have a name for it? Guys, do you... hands up in the chat room. Is this completely an alien subject, what I'm talking about here? Give me some feedback here, or on Facebook. Is this an alien subject? The idea that there's a massive creature that is below the Vatican, that is behind... This is the evil that is behind the Catholic Church. That presumably, in my humble opinion, was behind the Roman Catholic, the Roman Empire, which has become the Roman Catholic Empire. Is this the power behind the throne? Is it the blob in the basement? Has anyone heard any stories, any old stories about the beast, the creature? I mean, there is stuff that's in the Bible, yeah, but there's other things as well. There's other places. Would it be, has anyone read Enoch or anything like that? But we know that the Roman Church has had something to do with the mind control of the planet and the keeping of the planet in the Dark Ages. Remember what they did to Galileo, eh? You know? Yeah. The world is not flat.
You're going to die.
I just said a fact.
You're going to die.
Well, there you go. So that's what they did. The two wolves that started Rome. Ah, the Greek myth, Romus and Romulus. Is it? Or was it two kids that were brought up? Yeah. So, Beatrix. Now that brings up a very interesting point. Sacrifice. Are children abducted? Are people abducted to sacrifice to this creature, this being? Is this what it's about? What did it do with the creature's waste material? Perhaps the creature's waste material is maybe, don't know, gold? Something, maybe it's something useful. You feed it with your children and out poop something useful. Maybe, I don't know. What benefit? There must be some benefit that there is to keeping this thing sticking around. Yeah. Anyone else think that's all the sacrifice? No, I think that's you're pretty spot on there. That something to do with the sacrifice to this creature. This is the thing that they're sacrificing to. And perhaps there's some kind of radionic way that you build an altar of a particular dimension, that it's quantum entangles with this creature and enables it for it to feed. We know that John Dee agreed that the soldiers would wear uniforms with stars and identifying symbols on them so that the creatures could come up. And what about the thing that Stuart Wilde was saying, that there are billions of ghouls that hold this thing in place, that hold the form? Romulus. The Romulans were... It's interesting, in Star Trek, the Romulans were like the Vulcans. They shared a common ancestry. But the Romulans were... You could say that the Romulans were chaos, and the Vulcans were order. And the Vulcans suppressed all their chaotic anger and emotional sides, and the Romulans didn't. They just kind of did their thing with it. And so the Romulans were very much like the Roman Empire. It's like, as if the Roman Empire went into space. That's the Romulan Empire. They had those haircuts. it was always like battle of haircuts. They had a very similar haircut, the Romulans and the Vulcans, and they look very similar, and they had some technology. But really, the Vulcans are more like the Native Americans, and the... It's probably the difference between the Lemurians and the Atlanteans. This is like a metaphysical jam session. Romania, Vlad the Impaler, Vlad the Putin. I wonder if Vlad the Impaler is Vlad the Putin. Who was it? Was it somebody was saying? Was it Prince Charles saying that he had a past life as some Attila the Hun, or you know, something like that? Metaphysical jam session. Well, I do like a jam session, and I do like metaphysics, so this is good. It'd be much better if somebody was actually to talk to me. It's much easier to talk to somebody than talking to people who are 2 minutes in my past, as you guys are. Yeah, there's a delay between me saying something, and who are the beings of the Romanian Sphinx cave? Now, there's something. What's that about? I know that there were stories in Romania that underneath this Sphinx were three tunnels. One that went to Egypt, one that went to Tibet, and another one that went into the hollow earth. But these are long, long ways. I mean, these are 1,000 miles away, you know. You'd need a little vehicle, really, to traverse these things. You'd die after several weeks. Yeah, you know, because like, you know, how long would it take to go to walk down through the surface of the earth? You know, if it was a kind of mild incline spiraling down and down and down. It would be thousands and thousands of miles, wouldn't it? Yes. Incredible, gothic, big, huge. Who are the beings of the remaining Sphinx cave? I don't know about this. Yes, always stories of monsters and demons. Demons and monsters. And probably that's because that's it. And what the worst part of it is that the monsters have taken over and they've taken the place of the angels. That's the worst bit. The player keeps stopping. What a scummer. Huh. Well, I hope it's going to be all right for Frank's thing as well. So, I don't understand why my timer is saying that it's 42 minutes into the show, and that it's how bizarre! Oh, how lordy mama bizarre! Maybe it's my computer. Maybe it's, yeah. Listen, guys, I'm going to take the computer down and see if that's going to improve things. I'll see you in 1 minute. Okie dokie. Well, welcome back. Let's see. No, it doesn't go to the studio. It goes to the stream server host. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. So, please, condition reports, please. Let's see how we're doing. I've rebooted the computer. It's not trying to send emails to a ridiculous account. Don't try and send me emails at the moment. I'm on Skype. You can send one to my Google Mail account, but aside from that, everything's going weird. But there we go. So let's hope that what I'm saying now is coming through nice and clean. Can you please give me condition reports now? Restart your players. Condition reports, please. Right. Now, where were we? Apart from being distracted, distraction, number two, number one, divide, number two, distract. Divide and rule. Okay, so far so good. Thanks very much, Tram. And we'll continue and hopefully things will be better. Okay, good. So far so good. So far, lati do. Right, so, meanwhile, all good, I hope. So, thank you very much. We're now 12:15. Is it really? Yeah, how bizarre. This is all very strange. the stream status is there, but it's not actually being broadcast there. It goes straight to the server at Revolution Radio, which may itself be under attack. So that might be part of it, but hopefully I've done everything at my end to make sure that the signal is nice and clean. Perhaps it's an important one for Frank tonight. It's a quiet evening, I think, you know. Waiting for excellent. No, it doesn't go through to. No, it doesn't. No. I go straight into the stream server. At Connecticut, and then it goes straight out. I was talking about these massive tunnels. Imagine, you know, going caving. You know, you might go like maximum like a quarter of a mile down a tube, and that'll take you all day. Imagine one that goes all the way down through. All right, so if they say that the Earth is a bauble, that it's hollow on the inside, and that it's going through a crust which is something like 8,000, right, supposed to be 8,000 miles diameter, that 4,000 miles radius. So let's say that the crust is at least 1,000 miles from here to the other side of it, at least. Then what that would mean is that that it, you know, it's not a vertical drop. You'd have to walk down a slope. So that would add another, like, twice to three times the amount of distance that you'd have to cover, you know, unless you're actually literally dropping straight down. And so, the center of the gravity is not the center of the planet, but it's the center of the crust, which is like 500 miles down now. So it would be quite a journey, and not for the everyday human, I would think, and end up on Mars. So, they said that at Area 51, which is another one of these places that goes down and down and down and down and down, and eventually the humans, it stops being a human zone, and then there's greys, and then there's others. According to Billy Fay Woodard, a neighbour of Dave's, and Charamjaz, he was the ambassador for the Hollow Earth, and he existed for 11 years down in Area 51 without ever coming up to the surface. That was very strange. Did you make a wrong turn? Yeah, you slipped into the odd dimension there, but Bright Eyes. Yes, so hopefully the sound is all sorted now, and I'll make sure that everything's good when... Oh, that's good. Sound's still great. Yeah. Oh, A and B are both down, and they're going through Hawk's Nest. I see. So there may be a problem down at the thing. In which case, I will switch back on everbeyondradio.com, and if anybody's got any problems, you can always pick up the stream there. That's everbeyondradio.com. And see if that's going to come through all right as well. Please message me if anybody's getting there. Right, now, where were we? Beast, subterranean, we're under the ground. Subterrestrials, it's quite an interesting subject, the subterrestrials. We think that the ground is a solid thing and that there's nothing that exists underneath it, which of course is a completely ridiculous idea. The earth is made of plates of stuff that crack, and something intercontinental plate crack might be a really, really tiny thing in terms of the planet, but it's big enough to drive an aeroplane through, And there are cavities that form, and the Earth's surface moves and expands, and these cavities form and collapse, and they form what we call cave systems, being the just the gaps between two rocks, So we can consider the ground to be a Swiss cheese. We can consider the earth to be like a geode. You know what a geode is? These things, you get them in the crystal shops and you crack them open, or they've been cracked open, and inside is a complete lining of beautiful crystals. My humble opinion is that the earth is like one of those, and that that's why they say it's a crystal world, because literally it's the crystalline growth, and what's underneath, or what's sort of overlaying, is the same as what we have on the surface world, which is like grass and trees and soil and topsoil and all that stuff, organic matter. But I think that underneath all the organic matter on inside the earth is just like a geode. It's inside a crystal cave inside the earth. I'm always talking about the fractality of the universe, the way that the universe is a self-similar thing. So solar systems look like planets, and planets look like atoms, and galaxies look like atoms, stuff. So when you have things on different levels, it's just a matter of scale, and you're just looking for the same kind of constructions. So if you've got a stone, and inside the stone is all these crystals, then you could say that maybe that's what the planet's like. Silicon thing with a crystal thing on the inside. Which would mean that the energies of the planet are purer on the inside than they are on the rather rough surface. You could look at that the the people who may live in the Hollow Earth are like that, that they're somehow more refined, more crystalline in their nature. Right, I'm just gonna have a, there we go. Right. Okay, so there we go. So hopefully the sound is nice, so that we've got a nice clean channel for Frank to join in on. So Justme has posted, Greek Orthodox Church, remember tales of Kashadirian Jews? Are you talking about the Khazarian? Old Ukrainian folk tales that are Greek Catholics tell of creatures and church, much like Anne Rice tale. What's the Anne Rice tale, Justme? Justme, do you want to call in? You seem to have a bit of knowledge about this. I'd love to talk to somebody. Call in, Justme. WolfSpirit.switchboard1. Uh-huh. WolfSpirit.switchboard. I wish I had the little jingle that had the new telephone number on it. It'll be somewhere. I've got this massive pile of playlists. Massive. Oh, there we go. New number of Skype. There it is. Pop that there. Drag this down. Where are we? And we're here. Then a new number of Skype. And listen to this. Yes, indeed. That is how to find us. And what is the number? It is 702-879-4770. And hello. Luz?
Hello.
Yeah, Luz. I think Nancy called, she called the group rather than calling me directly. So sorry to disturb you, Luz. We'll see you next week.
No problem, guys. Thank you so much. Nancy, let's go against the, you know, after the electric companies.
Okay, okay.
Okay, that's the goal now, okay? All right. Love you, bye. Love you, JP, mwah.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Bye, darling.
Bye. Right.
Are we good?
No, you have to drop loose from the call.
I'm
there we go. Okay, and now you can turn off your radio.
Okay, maybe my radio is off. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
You are live on the air. So, yes. Okay. Did you hear any of this?
I heard the beginning, and then there was a... I had the guest, and I fed the guest, and then I got the last 10 minutes of it. Not even 5 minutes.
Actually, well, I mean, a lot of it has been a bit fluffy, because... I've had such terrible internet connection problems. All right. Listen, Nancy, I need to call you, so I'll bring you in a second, okay?
Okay.
Okay, now, Justme, you can turn on off your radio, please.
Okay.
And then I'm going to bring Nancy in a second back. So, hello. What's your name?
Hello. Okay, my background is I had moved to Western Canada.
All right, yeah, and you're... Sorry, what's your name?
Justme.
Justme. Okay.
Right.
Is that what we call you? All right, I'll call you Justme. And you're in Canada, yeah?
No, I'm in the United States right now. But I lived in Western Canada next door to some Ukrainians who had got out of Russia. After the famine or during the famine, something like that. They worked really hard to keep their old heritage, the old folk tales, and their dance. They were in the Shumka dancers. The Shumka dancers are known internationally because they go on tour to save the dancing. They also tried to save all their heritage. They had embroidery in their shirts about secret symbols. When the Shumka went to Russia, Johnny, my neighbor, got put in the big prison for spies there in Moscow because he gave embroidery thread to his relatives. Yeah. Anyway, they got tales about this Greek Orthodox Church and that the Greek Orthodox Church was out of Constantinople. And they say there's a very big difference between Greek and Roman Catholics. And they're trying to keep the Orthodox Greek alive. They say that the devil is in Roma. Now, I don't know about all the old tales, but there are underground creatures. You know, it's like the Anderson tales from Germany, you know, about creatures and stuff. Anyway, so I know that there's some underground creatures with the Greek-Roman Church, and they have, you know, lots of bad things to say about the Romans. And Anne Rice has those vampire tales. And she's got, there was a movie with one of her vampire tales, you know, about the Huns from, they're really the Mongols from Western China. And those Mongols, you know, took down civilization in Europe, etc. But they're also got something to do with vampire tales and so forth. So that'd be some place to get some background on all of that. I was amazed at looking at the churches that got bombed out in that Serbian war, you know, all during that the Bulgarian peninsula. Some of those churches look great. They were around before the big churches in Germany and elsewhere across Europe. You know, remember that the Muslims had great architecture and math and had interbred in there. And that's where the link comes with the Khazarian Jews story. And, you know, how those people have been warring forever and stealing knowledge from one another forever. And that's just about pretty much all I got to say, except, you know, I think some of those old tales from the Ukrainian people might tell you a little bit more about, you know, their take on Rome and so forth.
That's very interesting, Jasmine, because we know that Rome is not the best thing, and we also, you know, we can see that what happened in Rome is happening now, and it's just not, okay. It's not happening from Rome directly, it's happening from Rome. It's happening from London and it's happening from Washington, which we know are now tools and puppets of Rome. So that seems to be like phase two, as it were.
Okay, but now you also mentioned the signal coming from the Vatican. Now that signal, you know, with head to skull or whatever voice. I'm living in Columbus, Ohio. Columbus is, I think, one of the beginning places where that voice-to-skull was implemented in the United States, and definitely it was some of the beginnings back in the 50s. I think my family might have been experimented on medically, etc. But I know that there was the voice-to-skull back in the 50s. They had that, what in the world's the name of it? The professional name for that type of technology. They had their convention here in Columbus, and they do quite regularly. They did just a few years ago.
Is that Columbus, and, Ohio?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. It was hard to hear what you were actually saying.
They brought the aliens here. Remember the 1947 Roswell? Well, that was brought to the military base, I can't remember the name right this minute, Dayton, Ohio. And there was a lot of the German scientists came to Ohio. They could blend in with the German people from the Amish and so forth that ended up in Ohio, you know, through Pennsylvania. So they could blend in. Now, when I was in Western Canada, I lived out in the country outside of Edmonton for a while, and there was a couple of old Germans. The guy had a great big radio tower behind his house, and he would go to the library every week, according to the old farmers around there. You know, they said that he got financing for his farm from some German club, you know, that was the old Nazis there, and that this guy was probably taking technical information and sending it back to the other Nazis. And UFOs up there? Oh, yeah. Now, there's Cold Lake, near the tar sands of Alberta. You know, you've heard of the tar sands, the big heavy oil. Well, anyway, there's a military base up there called Cold Lake. That's where the U.S. had moved their Scud missile testing to when everybody was protesting way back in, what, late 70s? Yeah, Wright Patterson is the one that's down in Dayton. I'm jumping around. They put up, Wright Patterson has Battelle Institute here in Columbus at the university where they do a lot of engineering work. And when I was a young teenager living in Columbus, their chemistry labs would blow up about every other year and, you know, evacuate everybody and stuff. There was a lot of weird stuff here, you know. A lot of the metals were tested here. Back to Wright-Patterson. Back to Cold Lake. Well, anyway, there's a base more towards the American border called Wainwright? Yeah, sort of like Wright-Patterson. Wainwright. Between the two is where they did a lot of testing for chemtrails back in the mid-80s. You could see the tic-tac-toe patterns back in the mid-80s. About the aliens, though. They called it the UFO Highway, where the Trans-Canada Highway split. One side went up to Edmonton, and one went to Calgary. The one going up towards Edmonton, there's a swampy area across the border between Saskatoon and Alberta. Late at night, I love to drive at night, but there's no traffic on the Trans-Canada. And these big planes, yeah, the triangle planes, yeah, back in early 1980, the big triangle planes would fly over my car and my lights would dim. You know, they didn't turn off my car all the way that I remember, but I know it's happened on more than one occasion on my car. And when they would go over, you know, it was like they were messing with you, you know. Like when pilots take training, they train that if they lose the direction that they follow the highway. That's a big highway there. But anyway, that's UFO Highway in Canada, right near Cold Lake.
Excellent. So, we've now been joined by Nancy as well. So, welcome back, Nancy.
Yes, I get that with mic on. Yes, hi.
good.
So, listening to you guys just time, it's very interesting what you're saying.
Yeah, her name's Just Me. That's why she didn't respond. So, do you want to carry on a little bit, Just Me?
Yeah, I'll cut out.
No, carry on, I said. I didn't say cut out. Bless your heart. Oh, well. Thanks very much for joining us, Just Me. I hope you're catching this back on the radio now. Oh, well. Never mind. So, here we are. The
Emperor... One of those days.
Yeah. So we're continuing this the beast, this creature... because this was about, really. It's this creature that seems to be controlling the hearts and minds of humanity. And, you know, we've seen The Simpsons, and we've seen, you know, Family Guy with all these little, you know, alien vignettes and mind-controlling devices and creatures and all this stuff, and it's all in the cartoon. But it's more serious than that, isn't it, Nancy?
Yes. I mean, I don't know whether this thing exists or not, but there's got to be some kind of an evil thing that's there. Have you listened to Karen Hood's? Have you followed that?
Yeah, that's where it started. We were talking about the Homo capensis.
Yes. I have a deep respect for Karen, and have followed what she's been saying, and, you know... Because I also have researched some of the stuff that she got into is regarding the banking system and, you know, the fraud and the financial problems and all that. And she went on. But when she went there, I thought, why are you doing this? And all I know is that for her to have taken that jump to go that way, she was asked by the interviewer that I saw, you know, you realize that your credibility, you're putting your credibility out there, and she just responded very matter of fact, the truth has to come out now. And she may be very right, but at the same time, I get so darn suspicious when I see somebody who seemed to be so locked in the 3D rational, there's, the, you know, an accountant type of mind that all of a sudden makes that kind of a jump. And I guess my inclination when I read it and then I looked at some of the things other people said and I, you know, went back to it a number of times, my inclination is that I'm not so sure that Karen is Karen anymore. And I hate to come out on the public and say that, but there's something that is discordant about what I'm feeling off of her and the message. And I don't like to get into the concept of, ooh, there's bad things happening all over the place. But she could be getting set up. She could be, because she's claiming that, all right, I looked at the documentation regarding the DNA. She claimed there was a DNA taken. And it didn't say anything. What I was reading and was directly from the guy that is in charge of getting that DNA. I don't remember his name. He was in charge of getting it taken care of. When I looked at what the report said, it didn't say that there was a second species of human kind. It said just the opposite. This was not a human being in the DNA. So I found that to be conflicting with what Karen had said. And then she was saying that she knew people who had actually seen these people come out in one at the Vatican and another at some kind of a meeting, you know, finance meeting. It was a weird place. It was like a business environment. It's what I got off of it. And I just kind of feel like if you want to get somebody to lose all their credibility, then have that come out of her mouth. So I'm not convinced that any of this is true. It could just be a ploy by the dark side to make us so afraid or so focused on this big, big, bad entity that it feeds fear instead of realizing that this is another boogeyman they're throwing at us. You know, it's not some creature in the Vatican. This is a boogeyman. And it's something they're telling us so that we're going to be even more afraid than we were. I'm going to call their bluff. I'm going to say, no, it isn't there. I don't think it's there. I think that they're just trying in desperate means to create these images of great evil, sort of like the Wizard of Oz thing. You know, who's behind the curtain? And I think it's a bunch of just greedy men that may or may not have genetics that are different than mine, but they certainly have a moral code that is much different than mine. And so from that standpoint, if I have to identify what I call in Cosmic Reality, the book, the Black Nobles, if I have to say, who are they? I say that those are the ones that are in charge of everything right now. Because I can't worry about who might be giving them their messages. I have to get to the first. It's a battlefield. You have to be able to take out the first line of defense or the first group that's attacking you. You have to take out the first group, the lower group. And by keeping this concept of, oh, it's something, a boogeyman in the Vatican cellar that's causing all of this, to me is a distraction, and it is not going to help me deal with what I see as being a very dangerous and evil, immoral group of people who will go to all ends to maintain their power base. And that's based on greed, and that's based on fear. These people are afraid. They're more afraid than we ever will be. They're so afraid they're willing to do immoral acts. Most people who become afraid, they still will not do an immoral act, and yet these people are so terrified, they will do anything immoral. And I do believe they understand a lot of this is immoral. So I'm hesitant to go along with this concept of it being somebody outside of humanity. Let's get the the bankers and the industrialists and those people that would willingly make microchips so that they can put them inside of us, so that they can have complete control over us. All those lower echelon people, those are the ones we have to get to wake up, to not be fearful. The rest of it, well, when we see the lines, we'll know where they are. But right now, all we have in front of us are these people that are doing some really nasty things, who are either doing it because they are totally possessed by evil or because they're ignorant and fearful. And I'm going to bet that they're ignorant and fearful, because at least those people I might make a change in. People that are just totally, you know, psychopaths and evil, well, I can't make a change in them. That's who they are. So that's my take on it, Jay.
Good. So what you're saying is, let's not worry about who's behind them, just deal with them first. But what happens, you know, if you want to take a bigger look, that we know that these people use the technique of a front organization at all times. They always do that, and it's the mindset of an infecting parasite, an infesting parasite. And so I keep looking at this, and I keep seeing parasite behavior, and it just goes on and on and on, like the parasite is a parasite within the parasite of the parasite. Yeah, you know, see, you know what I mean? So there's like what we see is the bankers. And inside the bankers is the Illuminati, and inside the Illuminati are these, I don't know, maybe Jesuits, let's call them Jesuits, and inside the Jesuits is this possession of this fourth dimension. You know, eventually it comes down to some other being that is manifesting through these people, that is manifesting their evil through these people, and if we kill all of the Illuminati, surely it will then start recreating another group of people who do the same job as what the Illuminati did in the first place. You see what I'm saying? Nancy?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I lost the mic there for a second. Yes, I totally agree with what you're saying, but what I'm saying is that as a military tactician, in order to, let's look at the field of battle, and let's think of Nazi Germany and what the Allies were confronting. You had the evil of Hitler as being the head of the snake. But to get to the head of the snake, they had to take out all the divisions that were between the shores of the ocean and Berlin itself. But the thing of it is, with us, we're fighting a different battlefield. We're not fighting a 3D battlefield. We're fighting one that is primarily energy and mind. So if we become organized in a, not so much at the 3D level, but we become organized in that we start to really see the script, really see what's really happening in a broader view than pitching this battle here and this battle here and this battle here. If we can actually see the battlefield, then we're going to see, just like you said, layer upon layer of, well, Richard Hoagland likes to say there's a different lie for every layer, and that's true. So you've got people that are in the bottom echelon that will do things for just out of greed, because they don't understand anything more. Then you get people who are a little higher, and now they're very fearful because the greed isn't enough for them. They're like, no, I don't want to do this. You know, greed isn't enough for me to do this. Well, now we're going to make you afraid. And then beyond that, you have all of it designed to control each level. The higher level controls the lower levels. So from a battlefield standpoint, we have to be able to bust through that first level. We have to wake these people up. If everybody working in any of these organizations start to wake up, if we wake up on an individual basis and look at the governments that we've been handed and the financial system that we've been handed, we can take it down from that level. But to try to figure out who's at the top and go after them, they never were able to kill Hitler. They couldn't take him down, and he was the head of the snake. So from just a strategic kind of looking at the battlefield thing, We've got to focus on the battles that we can win. And the battles that we can win is to explain to a community that you really need to get rid of the fluoride out of your water. You know, and
exactly.
Why,
so here we have. So what you're talking about is, you know, on that 3D battle, there was a country, and then there was like rivers and countryside, and then there was another group of people who had a bunch of tanks and stuff, you know, defending the lines. We're not at that place now, because we are right inside. You know, it used to be that you used to say, they used to say Nazi Germany. You know, when Germany was completely taken over by the Nazis, where I'm looking, I can see Nazi Earth. And our problem is not that it's across a border. It's in our very psyche. It's been stuffed into our psyche in the last 50 years. The Nazis didn't lose the war. Germany.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, first off, 20,000 of the highest echelons of the Nazi Party disappeared. In Cosmic Reality, Book 1, the Jesus Christ, John Kennedy Jesus Christ Connection, I talk about that whole link. It's like, where did these people go? And in my opinion, that where they went was that they infiltrated the Freemason organization worldwide, and that they have used the Freemason organization for decades to do their bidding, even though the member of the Freemason would never accept that that was what was happening. But I, in fact, had a 32-degree Mason who I said, is it possible that these Nazis actually infiltrated the Freemason organization? And the guy was a major in the United States Army. He was a vice president of a major airline corporation. And he looked at me and he said, yes. So what he was saying is that, yes, the Nazis could have infiltrated the Freemason organization and be using the oath that the Freemason, each member takes to the Freemasons, that apparently is pretty scary, because I've never had, there was only a couple of Freemasons that have ever talked to me. And the rest of them are just too afraid. So that's an example of how they're controlling. And yes, in my final analysis, whoever's the bad guy is a Nazi. Because a Nazi is a, Nazism is the concept that it's, you've got democracy, which is all for one, and communism, which is one for all. But Nazism is all for the state. And in this case, the state is a group of people. It's not a state within the idea of a country. It's a group of people. And who they are, like I say, I'm not sure it matters now. What we have to do is keep, you know, hitting the knowledge button. And every time they tell us something that we know that's not true, we go after them. But we've got to start coming together with the same voice. And the more we talk, and the more we're on the radio, and the more that we're on the internet, and more that we communicate with people, it's happening. More and more people are waking up.
That's right. So we're here at the juncture when this lot are losing power, it seems, and they're trying to scrabble to get other power. You know, they've tried to do it by mind control, or tried all that. But really, it's not going to be working, because we're going to shrug it off like water off a duck's back, you know, because the spirit inside us has grown enough to reject the mind controlling. I mean, we've seen one example is Solaris. Solaris Blue Raven is like, she's a martial arts master, and they tried to mind control her and even implant her, and she's overcome the implant.
And that's what we have to learn, is that regardless of what they try to do to us, we're much stronger. And their problem is that they depended on us not connecting. Once we started connecting, once we started talking, I mean, I think they totally underestimated the internet. Because it's only through the internet that we've been allowed to find out that there's, you know, millions of other people out in the world that believe just like we do. And we can see the matrix.
Yeah, and, well, what I've been discovering through my three or four years doing internet radio with people from, you know, all over the States, all over the Anglosphere, is that there are soul groups that are coming together. And that's what I'm seeing. And I'm kind of, in a way, I'm like an energetic historian, because if anybody were to listen to my shows over all the years and all the ones where I do readings, you can hear different groups coming on. And it's like, okay, you guys go over there, you guys go over there, and go work it out. And it's a understanding who your soul group is. You see, most of the problem is that everybody sticks together with their personality energy group. And so if you've got a 7th rate personality, you stick around with other 7th rate personality, no matter what the soul group is. But if you were to find yourself with people who have the same soul group and different personalities, you discover that you're all coming from the same place, and yet you're expressing it in a unique way. And that's the difference between a community group of souls and just a random group of people.
Yeah, that's the way I see it too. You know, it's when you've been at it, like I've been at this for 50 years, and to see how it comes together. And the other thing is like you'll have a bunch of people that get to be a group, and then they kind of like disperse, the energy disperses, they disperse. But then you'll find some of the same people in another group. And it's like the groups can, there's got to be a bigger group than all the groups we're seeing. You know, it's sort of like we get introduced individually, but then we get introduced to different groups, and there's got to be one big group soul. It brings everything together.
Yeah,
and
that's called the Buddha.
Yeah, and that when we feel that, when we know that, when we're experiencing that, then, that's when we'll know we're home.
That's the collective Christ, the collective Christos, that I believe I got a taste of last year, and I think that coming soon, you know, this wave that we're getting, this is what we're going to be getting. We're actually going to be getting a burst of Christ energy.
Well, I think it's happening.
And we've been getting little bits. It's that rising feeling that you felt in your stomach various times in the last year. It's that intolerance of BS that has been building up and building up in you since about last year. It's really, this is what it's about. We're absorbing energy from the galactic center. We can't see it, feel it. But we're experiencing it as an expansion from within us, knowing who we are more and more and more. And who we are is what we like. And when you know what you like, you know who you are. So you find things that you don't like, and you decide that you don't like those, and you can move them out of your life. And this process has been going on for a lot of us, for the last 20 years, but certainly it's been accelerating in the last year. And what we're going to find is that more and more people are going to be coming to us, people who have never, you know, because they can see that we have the key to it. And the key, as we see, is to be in with your soul group. Know where your soul is and know who your tribe is. You know who your tribe is. You see them and you just go up to them and say hi. It's because they know you. They know you too.
Yeah, one of the things I've been seeing, I administer two groups, Cosmic Reality Group and the Odd Group. And in both cases, over the last 2 to 3 months, I've seen more and more people who are new to Facebook asking to join these groups. Now, some people got really scared and said, oh, the shills are trying to get us. And I'm going, no, these are people who are awakening. They're starting to wake up, and they're being drawn to the very place where they can find the truth.
Exactly, because in the same way that you ask, can I have, like, you know, Marvin Gaye's the greatest hits album, you know, or something, and you get what you ask for. And Google is like that. The whole trick, everybody thinks, oh, well, how can it be that simple? The trick is you have to ask the right question.
And then wait the answer.
That's right, and recognize the answer when it comes, that's your answer.
Yep.
Because reality happens to a lot of people, but often they just kind of get up and walk along as if nothing happened.
All the time. But more and more of them are paying attention. And that's what makes me feel like, you know, we're really over the hump. We should start having fun. You know, don't be afraid, because fear will cripple us. You know, if we just know that there's light workers all over this beautiful planet. And Gaia herself is awake. And if we just, you know, just hold hands, it's going to be a fun ride.
Excellent. Nancy, thank you so much for joining me the last half hour. It's always a trip. It's always a great cosmic journey. You know, we have... it feels like we are a group research program. We don't know what we're trying to find, but we know it's important. We know that it's got something to do with space and time and trying to heal something. Perhaps it's already been healed, but what we need to do is show that to everybody that this is the case.
We just got to be true to ourselves. Just tell the story like it's happening, Jay. We're blessed that we're awake and we're seeing this. And if we can just impart that excitement of, you know, this is it, babes. We're going to go to the new world. And there's no stopping us now. And we're having fun. Just relax. We know there's a lot of problems out there, but they're all going to be taken care of. Just, you know, keep learning, learn, and then tell people what you know. Feel.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Nancy L. Hopkins, what is it? CosmicReality.net. Excellent.
There you go.
Yeah, and this is JP, EverBeyondRadio.com. Yeah, we're moving into the big time. Good night, everybody. Stay tuned for Frank Jordan, some fantastic healing. We're going to get some good stuff tonight. Beyond.